Alright, hello everybody and welcome to episode 42 of Screen Champs. I'm your host Dubs, here with my co-host, the Madman Moan.
What's going on, brother?
What's happening, man? Today's episode, jam-packed. We got a lot of new trailers I'm very excited about. We got Dexter New Blood trailer, the Guilty trailer, Don't Look Up teaser trailer, the new Matrix trailer, and we're going to drop a review of Malignant for you as well. So jam-packed episode. We got a lot of things to talk about, but the thing I want to talk about first is, Madman Moan, did you see the Blue's Clues video going around Twitter?
The Blue's Clues video? I did, bro. All
right, tell me how you feel about it before I tell you how I feel about it.
Well, the feels are there. He was like, hey, it's been a while. But then he started talking about, like, hey, when you went to college and you did this and you did that, I'm like, I kind of didn't do that. So it made me feel a little bit sadder because I know other people did and they went through a different life and they grew up. And I kind of took a weird course to where I'm at now in adulthood. And I felt a little bit bad about that.
Okay, so it made you feel bad about yourself. Like, I didn't even hit the bare minimum that this guy, the Blue's Clues guy, what's his name, Joe or...
I don't know.
All right. Sure. I'm glad you don't know. And that's
Steve,
the first step.
I think it's Steve.
It is Steve. All right. Yeah. So Steve, he set the bar for us at like college, family, student loans.
Yeah.
We didn't hit those goals. I also don't have student loans.
Yeah. I have loans, just not because I was a student.
Yeah. No, it's, hey, and that's fine. Here's the thing. The way people have responded to this stupid Blue's Clues video has blown my mind. And I'll play a little bit, just in case you're not aware of this video.
You remember how, when we were younger, we used to run around and hang out with Blue and find clues and talk to Mr. Salt, freak out about the mail and do all the fun stuff. And then one day, I was like, oh, hey, guess what? Big news. I'm leaving. And we didn't see each other for, like, a really long time. Can we just talk about that? Great. Because I realized that was kind of abrupt. I just kind of got up and went to college. I guess I just wanted to say that after all these years, I never forgot you. Ever. And I'm super glad we're still friends. Thanks for listening. You look great, by the way. Whatever it is you're doing, it's working.
It's wholesome, and that's nice. There's nothing wrong with this video at all. But I've seen people my age react like so strongly, be like, oh, Steve, I needed this, and Steve did it. And he stopped being the host of Blue's Clues in 2002. So when I'm saying people I went to high school with, the same grade as me, they would have been 13 at the time. Yeah. There's no way they were still watching Blue's Clues. Like, oh, you know, it's behind you, Blue. It's in the window. Like, there's no way. There's no way. And so this fake, like, oh, this means so much to me. It feels so like, I just don't understand. It's like a weird internet thing that I've just never fully like come onto, like this shared psychosis of like, we're all going to pretend to care even though no one like really cares, but we're just going to like do it anyway. I don't understand.
Do I care more about the fact that now it's a meme and that people are like upset at Steve? Like, I saw a video of some guy who was like, nah, bro, you did me dirty. Like, you were my dog and you left me.
Oh, wow.
Just like my dad. Like, how dare you? You're going to come back to me in my life and apologize? That ain't cool. And I enjoy that commentary. I enjoy the
just like more the, than, yeah, like, the people, flip side of it.
Like, crying. Yeah, because I know people are crying. People are like, oh, man, like, did I cry? You best believe I did. I love you. You know, like, shit like that. And I'm like, give me the memes, and also give me the, nah, you can't just come back and apologize and think everything is okay, Steve. It ain't.
It trips me out, because if this would have come out and not had a big reaction, I would have been like, Nick Jr. is so dumb for, like, who are they making this for? Yeah. Like, what do you care, like, having Steve come back from 2002, like, almost 20 years later to say, oh, sorry I left you? But apparently, they made it for exactly... The people who needed it the most, supposedly, because people are losing their minds about it. Yeah. So good old Blue's Clues, man. Steve, and well, he came back, and you know, he said everyone's looking good, and people were hype about that. It's funny. It doesn't make me mad. It used to make me mad. If it were like 10 years ago, I'd be mad. I'd be like, why does everyone care so much? This is so stupid. I'm a little more mature now. but I still don't understand why everyone loves it so much.
No, but also this is just another play at like nostalgia. It's like, hey, let's bring back something that people liked and let's just profit out of it. Let's go. Like, is Nick Jr. coming out with like a streaming like service? Or like, why is this happening? Is it just cause like, is it like 20 year anniversary, 30 year anniversary? Or like,
yeah, maybe.
Are they streamlining something? Cause I feel like this is what you do.
Everyone that got all excited, they better be streaming the new Blue's Clues show when it comes out, especially if Steve's making an appearance, since they all care so damn much about Steve. If he hops in there, they better help solve the mystery with Blue and Steve.
Yeah. Well, they did like they did what everyone wants from like Spider-Man No Way Home. You know, they brought all three like Steve's, like all three like hosts. They brought them all together and they were like, this is our big money get here. Let's make it happen.
It's a beautiful Blue's moment. Blue's
Clues is back, baby.
So that better have done big numbers. That's all I'm saying. If it did,
it better have.
Better have. You guys are fake. That's it.
Yeah, I mean, when you put into perspective the age, it makes a lot of sense. Like, we were in high school, and he was already like 7 years, 6 years removed from.
Well, yeah. So everyone's different, right? I don't know the age of everyone reacting to it, but I know in 2002, I was around 13, and I had already left Steve. I left Steve before he left me. That's for sure. So if anything, I should be apologizing to him for leaving. But he's like, you're sorry, like, I left.
Bro, I'm sorry,
you
man.
Know? I was like, dude, I was gone. You know, I was out like just discovering my own life and stuff, just trying to hit on girls and, you know, live life, bro. Like, relax.
Yeah, that's funny.
Let's hop into our, we got quick hit. We got a quick hit back for the first time in a long time.
Quickie.
The woke police are still out there.
The woke police is out there.
And just because Chris Harrison doesn't have a job doesn't mean his message does not resonate on. Shang-Chi may not show in China after comments from a 2017 interview with Simu Liu have gone viral.
Damn.
So, yeah, he's just, you think, you were like, hey, representation matters. In China, they're like, we don't give a damn about all that. You said something in 2017, you're done. Does anyone have a thinner skin than the CCP? This is the Chinese Communist Party. I don't think anyone does. They're very, very touchy about these things. And they will just not show a movie. They don't give a damn how anyone feels. So he said in this interview that China was a third world country and the people there were dying of starvation. And these are things that his parents told him, and that's why they immigrated to Canada when he was around 5 years old. I don't know the whole interview. I know the context of all of it. I'm not here to start a war with China. Hopefully they're listening to the podcast in China. I don't think they are.
The woke police is out there.
You got to be careful because Eternals, Chloe Zhao, got into some trouble too over something she said, and Eternals might not play because she said something about China. They shut out almost the whole NBA because the NBA owner said something about China.
Yeah.
It's like, bro, like, get it together. If you're going to be a dick, at least own it. You know, like, you don't be a dick and then you can't even take a joke about it. Even Donald Trump had a Comedy Central roast. Like, you got to be able to take a joke.
Yeah, you just can't mess with China, though. You cannot mess
with China. Can't mess with them.
They don't give a damn.
No. And it matters so much because they're just such a big market, you know? There's so many people there.
A lot of people there. It's a lot. And they know it. Don't kill people off if they need to make their point. So.
Oh, yeah.
That's a damn shame. But also, like, be careful who you talk about. I'm not, like, defending China here, but
yeah, all right, bro, bootlicker, all right, come on, man.
You just gotta be careful who you talking about.
Yeah,
because they'll find it.
They will find it, and it's trending all over like Chinese Twitter right now, apparently. So that's we're not allowed to see Chinese Twitter, so that's they're telling us it is.
What's Chinese Twitter look like?
I mean just probably more Chinese than ours, really.
It's
probably the biggest thing.
A lot of text you have to like transcribe and like find out the meaning behind it. I'm always surprised when they find this. Like, I'm always surprised when they find that this guy said this about China like 5 years ago, 4 years ago.
Yeah. Well, it's also crazy because he's so, I feel like he was like a relative unknown. I think he was in a show called Kim's Convenience where he was probably getting more notoriety at the time.
Yeah,
but I think
it's
just weird that anyone interviewed him in 2017 at all.
Yeah, no, I agree. When we talked about the movie, I was like, this guy was doing nothing. I was like, this guy was, I'm telling you, he was an extra in a movie. He didn't have a name. He was just a guy. You see all the time fame is happening. People are wanting to know who this guy is, right? Like, in the circuit. I think, what, he threw, like, a pitch at a baseball game or something? Did, like, a backflip and shit? Everyone was walling out. They're like, holy shit, this is fucking awesome.
Nah, yeah, maybe.
And then this shit happens. God, that sucks, though. What a great movie, and it just sucks that, like, this bad publicity, bad contract, you know, it just comes up. I mean, I know it happens. It's natural now. It seems more than ever, but.
Chinese people are very good at getting around the structures that are put in place, as are most people. You know, you go to school, and you can't access this website. And you're like, bet. And then you figure it out. And then there's always little loopholes here and there. And the internet is built for freedom. It's not built for to be constricted. So people usually find a way, and hopefully people get their movie. And Disney just won't get paid for it. And boo-hoo to Disney.
Hey, don't mess with the mouse, man.
Yeah, don't mess with the mouse. So, hopping into news here, we got some great trailers coming out, and I'm excited for all of these projects. The first one coming up, Showtime, has Dexter New Blood trailer. So the synopsis here is approximately 10 years after the original series finale, Dexter Morgan has moved to the fictional small town of Iron Lake, New York, hiding his identity under the name of Jim Lindsay, a local shopkeeper. He's developed a relationship with Angela Bishop, the town's chief of police, and has suppressed his serial killing urges. A string of incidents around Iron Lake causes Dexter to fear that his dark passenger within him will reveal itself. Are you a Dexter guy, Madman?
No, it's in Showtime, and I feel like growing up, I was not a big Showtime guy.
Whoa.
I know the show, though. And I know the actor. I don't think I've seen any episode of this show.
Oh, my God. Well, dude, you got to watch Dexter. I mean, that's just, I don't know. I mean, I wasn't a Showtime person either. But Dexter, when Dexter came out, there was two things going on. Mm-hmm. That was prime, like, everyone in my house was buying DVDs and stuff. But that was also prime me just stealing everything online. So, because I remember, getting my parents getting into Dexter, so then they would buy the seasons, and that was easier.
Because he would just like, hey, I'm gonna borrow it, and then just burn everything.
Yeah, because I also remember not having a job was so great, and I just wish, I wish I didn't have to work sometimes, because it takes up 40 hours a week plus driving there and whatever. It's obnoxious, dude.
Sometimes there's days where I did nothing and I was tired. I was like, I gotta go to sleep. Like, what did you do today? I did a lot. Like, really? It's like, well, no, but I did. So,
no, I mean, sometimes, but those are like, I remember watching all of Lost season 2 within like one 24 hour period. That's a lot.
Damn.
Yeah, it's heavy.
What a beautiful thing.
It was just a different time. I can't stay awake that long anymore, but at the time, it was a beautiful thing.
Especially when you commit and you're just like, I'm doing, and you start planning like lunches and dinners and like.
Oh, there was no planning. You know, it was just even like darkness.
Oh, really? I like pre-plan. I'm like, all right, I have these things to put me through. And then there's going to be a moment where I do a transition period and I could order something. I post-made some.
No, the show was just so good. I couldn't stop. And then it got to a point where I was like, okay, I could finish this. And then it was just sheer human spirit. Back to Dexter. Back to Dexter. So Dexter, well, man, first of all, you're missing out. Anyone that's watched Dexter will tell you it's a great show. Probably one of the best shows that have come out ever. And one of the worst endings. So now we're getting answers. They're bringing it back. It's going to be a 10-episode Showtime series. It's taking place 10 years after the events that happened before. And Harrison's back. So that does happen. Because he has a son in the show, Harrison, who's like a child. And all of a sudden, at the very end of the trailer, this kid walks up, Dexter Morgan. And he's like, yeah. He's like, I'm your son, Harrison. Blew my mind. I was shocked. So I'm excited for this. It looks good. Michael C. Hall back as Dexter. He's, in perfect form. He's great in the role. Everyone surrounding the project seems very passionate about it. They're all very excited about it. No one ever says, hey, yeah, what we're making right now is pretty shitty and you're all going to hate it. So you kind of take everything with a grain of salt. But I think 10 years removed has been enough time to say, okay, what can we fix? What can we do? What's a good way to like put a good bow on this story? And I'm thinking, I haven't seen it yet, but I'm thinking they're going to leave some options open for potential season 2. or whatever, or season 8, however you want to look at it, or just a continuation of the story. Because once you get those juices flowing, I feel like it's just going to keep going.
Yeah. Do you think, like, I don't know if this was fueled from the fans, or if, you know, the Showtime or whoever is controlling this was like, you know what, like, let's, we had really good numbers, let's just bring it back, let's just get it going. Like, I don't know if it's more of that or more of like, hey, like, the fans really want it and they low-key need, they need this because we fucked up.
Yeah.
I don't know if you feel like...
I'm not sure. I think it's just one of those things where it's widely seen as a finale that did not end well to a show that was very good. Mm. And I think that everyone... The celebrities and athletes, they all kind of say the same thing. You try not to read too much. You know, you try to ignore the bad reviews. But everyone knows. Michael C. Hall knows that everyone hates the ending of Dexter. He's just it's just something he's just aware of. And so, and he's also what he's most well known for. So I'm sure there's a part of you, if you see a script that you like, and if the right people are involved, and say, hey, we want to come back and revisit this. Let's do something a little different and see if we can get something good going on. I feel like it's a no-brainer. So I think that Showtime is down because it's one of their most successful shows. So they're like, hey, if you guys got a good idea, yeah, well, of course we'll do it. If everyone's in and everyone's game, why not?
I hope that it stays like that. I hope that energy stays.
Dexter, yeah, dude. I mean, you just got to watch the show. Just start binging it, dude. It's the way to go. Some awesome. Each one is a unique story, and they got some great villains in it. Oh, they're so good.
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
And there's also like a lot of blood too, a lot of killing, right? I'm sure.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people get murdered for sure. Oh yeah, but it's like fun, you know. He only kills bad guys. All right, so the next trailer here we have is the Guilty trailer. So this is a Jake Gyllenhaal vehicle. Synopsis: a troubled police detective demoted to 911 operator duty scrambles to save a distressed caller during a harrowing day of revelations and reckonings. The trailer looks cool. I'm a Jake Gyllenhaal guy. This is a Jake Gyllenhaal podcast. We're firmly behind him.
Oh yeah.
But if there were any other actor in this trailer, I'd probably be talking shit for sure. Like, it looks cool, and I'm pretty sure I'm gonna like the movie. But it also looks exactly like that Halle Berry movie that came out, like The Call, where she was a 911 operator.
Yeah.
And that movie was okay. Like, it's entertaining enough while you're watching it. It's not something you're gonna be mad about, but I think Jake Gyllenhaal elevates this to another level.
That's what I was saying. Like, haven't I seen this before? But then I remembered. Oh, yeah. I was like, oh, wait, hold up. This is Jake Gyllenhaal. He could do no wrong.
Yeah.
So. And I'm excited to see this movie. It's going to be a better version of that Halle Berry version or whatever it was.
Yeah. And fun fact, this is actually a remake of a Danish movie that came out in 2018. So not even that long ago. And they got the rights to it real quick. So apparently,
because they were like, "We can make this better. Yeah, let's do this again with Jake Gyllenhaal.
Yep,
and it's gonna be a fucking hit.
No, that's all you need.
I'm all about it. Yeah, I wasn't that excited about Nightcrawler, and then I saw the movie and I was like, "This is amazing.
Yeah,
well, and
Riz Ahmed is in it. What can you do?
I mean, shoot. give me this movie, bro. I'm down. I'm so happy it's on Netflix.
Yeah.
Yeah, just because I'm lazy and I want to watch it at midnight or something. Like, I just want to watch it as quickly as I can because it's Jake Gyllenhaal, first of all, and second of all, I know it's going to be awesome. I just know it's going to be good.
Yeah, there's something about some of the trailer, like, I just kind of laugh at it. And it's nice actually seeing the synopsis that he's a troubled police detective demoted, because it doesn't really express that in the trailer. And then there's a certain part, where at least at the beginning of the trailer, where he's like, are you in a van, like a white van? And then the call drops, and he's like, we're looking for a white van. And they're like, that's not enough information. He's like, damn it. Like, he's just so upset. Like, and I was like, well, yeah, bro, you can't just a white van. Like, you're going to need more information than that. It just seemed weird that he didn't understand that he would need more information than that.
And he was like a little like careless too.
Yeah. He's like, yeah, I'm hanging up. She's like, yeah, I'm kind of being kidnapped here. So please help me.
I get that the disgruntledness, like, this guy does good shit. Yeah, he's upset. But, you know, he's a former detective, so he gets a little bit too passionate. And I really enjoyed the part in the trailer where he's like, hey, if he's going to hurt you or something like that, like, you say yes when I say white or like some shit like that. I don't know if that's correct, but they be doing that shit, bro. Dispatchers, they be doing that. You know, like, yeah, you know, like if you're ever in trouble, call the cops and pretend you're ordering pizza. And then if they catch on, they'd be like, hey, if he has a gun, say you want extra pepperoni. But like, you know what? I would like this with extra pepperoni. Like, that shit's real as fuck, so.
Oh, yeah.
It adds an element that makes it a little bit more, like, grounded. And I'm like, fuck, this is, like, intense. I hope she doesn't get hurt, you know? Because the whole movie, you're not going to see her probably until all the way in the end. Or you're not going to see the situation.
Yeah.
So that suspense, it does a good job building that suspense.
Hopefully.
I think it will. But who knows, right? This movie could be terrible.
Yeah,
but because it's Jake Gyllenhaal, it's not.
It is a Netflix movie, and it's just kind of hard to ignore the facts. But that's not the only Netflix movie coming out. And there is another Netflix movie coming out. It's Don't Look Up. And this is a movie that we talked about at the beginning of the year when Netflix teased that they were releasing a movie every week. This is one of the ones. I think there was a couple stills from it. It's got Leonardo DiCaprio. It's got Katniss Everdeen. What the hell is her name?
Jennifer Lawrence.
Yeah. Leonardo DiCaprio, Jennifer Lawrence as the main two people. The synopsis here is that two low-level astronomers must go on a giant media tour to warn mankind of an approaching comet that will destroy planet Earth. And it's coming out December 24th. And this happens every year to me, Madman. This happens every year where everyone will be enjoying Christmas Eve. Everyone's hanging out, usually a big group of people. People are drinking, having a good time. And I'm like, hey, you guys know a good movie just came out? You guys want to watch a movie? And everyone's like, no. Like, we want to just get drunk and open gifts. And I'm like, yeah, but it's a Leonardo DiCaprio movie. And everyone's like, yeah, don't care. I had to fight to watch Wolf of Wall Street on Christmas Day. That was a hard fight. It was very late Christmas night. It was the last show of the day, and I was able to convince some people to go with me. But this fight happens every year, and it kind of makes me sad. And when I saw it was coming out December 24th, I was like, damn it. Oh, because I know I'm going to want to watch it, and no one's going to want to watch it at the time. And I don't want to wait. It's a Leo movie, and it's on Netflix.
Oh, yeah.
And it looks funny. It looks good.
Yeah, but you don't have to go to the theater now. You can just watch on Netflix.
It's true. It's true.
But I you need to go to the theater for this moment, though, because you know damn well when you put it on Netflix at the house that you're going to be at, people are going to deviate. They're going to be like not committed. Talking shit, maybe even drinking still.
Oh, no, yeah. You can't watch this with a bunch. I mean, no, that's the other thing, too. It's if everyone did agree to watch the movie, that'd almost be worse because then everyone would talk. It's like watching football with people that don't watch football. It's like, can y'all just shut up while the game is on? Like, come on.
Yeah, that's the worst.
Yeah. What's up?
You just can't have that happen.
Yeah, it's just a bad vibe.
Hey, well, I got you, bro. I'll back you up. I'm sure some of the listeners would be down. They'll do a little meet and greet.
There's a little like December 24th watch party. I like it.
Watch party. Just meet us up in front of the LA Live theater or whatever.
Oh, this is only on Netflix.
With our TVs.
Oh, okay, of course, yeah. But yeah, no, but this movie looks great. I think it looks like a lot of fun. Jonah Hill's in there, killing it. And it looks like it's a great fit for Leonardo DiCaprio because I don't know if you remember his Oscar acceptance speech. It was a drag. I'm not a big environmental guy because I just, you know, I only got so much brain capacity. I can't just use, you know, like I said, I gotta work. You know, I can't just think about the ozone layer. But Leo just was just dropping knowledge about just how we're ruining the planet, which is socially responsible, but very boring when he could have been flexing on everyone for a couple minutes.
Yeah.
And do you remember his speech at all?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, it wasn't that great. It reminded me a lot of Joaquin Phoenix's speech recently.
Yeah. Here, let's drop in a little bit of that Leo speech just to depress everyone for a minute.
Making The Revenant was about man's relationship to the natural world, a world that we collectively felt in 2015 as the hottest year in recorded history. Our production needed to move to the southern tip of this planet just to be able to find snow. Climate change is real. It is happening right now. It is the most urgent threat facing our entire species, and we need to work collectively together and stop procrastinating. We need to support leaders around the world who do not speak for the big polluters or the big corporations, but who speak for all of humanity, for the indigenous people of the world, for the billions and billions of underprivileged people who will be most affected by this, for our children's children, and for those people out there whose voices have been drowned out by the politics of greed.
He could have been talking about anything. He could have been talking about, like, I mean, y'all know I was in Titanic, like, and then I was in, like, Inception. I did Wolf of Wall Street. And I had to kill this bear for you guys to give me recognition. Like, what's going on out here? Like, he could have flexed on everyone. Been like, I'm, like, the best actor of this generation. Like, y'all don't respect me. I deserve more than this. He could have had some Kanye West moment. Like, I guess we'll never know. Nothing. George Bush doesn't care about black people. Was like, hey, we're ruining the planet. I was like, well, damn it, Leo, I know we are, but, like, come on, man. Like, everyone was excited when he started talking. And then as he kept talking, he was like, all right, okay, cool, whatever. Whatever, dude, whatever. But all that to say, this is clearly stuff he's passionate about. And so even though this movie is a comedy about, like, you know, hey, they're like, the world's going to end. And everyone's like, all right, bro, we get it. The world's ending. I think it's something that he was clearly drawn to. And I just, you know, when someone's excited about the content, the material they're playing, you just think it's going to be that much better. Plus, it's Leo, so it's going to be good no matter what. And it's written and directed by Adam McKay, who gave us The Big Short, Step Brothers, Anchorman, all those hitters.
Yeah, I mean, it's gonna be a great movie. Ensemble cast, too. So, I mean, you just can't hate that.
And the other Christmas movie coming out that I'm excited for, but it's not like I don't have to see it the minute it comes out, like I will for Don't Look Up, is The Matrix Resurrection. And this is a trailer that I was excited for because you just want to see what's going on. Anytime you see Keanu, it's exciting. But this really kind of just looks like a retread of the first one. I know, Batman, you said you had some stuff you wanted to say about this movie. You had a couple of points you wanted to hit. I do not like the second and third Matrix movies, like, at all. I've seen them maybe once, maybe twice, and just they're dead to me. But the first one's amazing. And I was reading that this one's actually just going to be a continuation of the first one. So I think they're kind of wiping out the canon. They're resetting it. So it's going the first movie to this movie. And they're kind of taking out the second and third. But what do you want to hit about this one?
Well, no. Like, the first thing I wanted to hit on was just how funny Keanu Reeves is. Because is this just, like, how Keanu Reeves looks like now in every movie? Like, with the long hair and the beard? Like, is that just his look now? Like, yeah. That's just who he is?
They're like, you need to cut your hair. He's like, what? No. No. That's it, yeah.
Let's keep the beard. And and he just has the same look in every freaking movie. John Wick. I think the Neon Demon, he looked the same. This, like, he just looks the same. Like, he just shows up. And they're like, yeah, we need to fix this. He's like, no. And then they're like, okay, well, fuck it. This is just what we're going to keep. Like, he's on some Nicolas Cage type shit, you know?
Hey, bro. Which I love. I'm down. Awesome. I'm down to, like, just tear down the statues of the people, you know? I'm down to poke holes in the things that people love. But you got to tread carefully, brother. You're over here talking about Keanu Reeves. You got to be careful, man, because people are very passionate about Keanu and these characters he plays. Now, I know he plays the same thing in every damn movie. I understand that, but people are very passionate. So I'm just saying, be careful. Be careful.
No, I love it. I think it's funny. It's just like, it's funny because he's like, he doesn't give a shit anymore. You know, he's just like, yeah, I'm Keanu Reeves. I'm going to go on set, and this is who I am. And I'm an older action star, and I'm not going to change who I am. And they're like, great. We need that. I just thought it was funny. I don't know. It's just a little funny thing.
It's hard to strike twice, or was fucking strike, it's hard to strike oil twice or gold twice or whatever. It's hard to strike things twice, you know. People move.
Strike,
it's hard,
lightning
twice. It's hard to hit things twice. It's hard for lightning to strike the same place twice. It's hard to start a fire on Survivor. It's just hard to do these
twice
things. Twice, yeah. It's just hard without flint and coconut husk. So yeah, I don't know, the first movie is so prolific, and it's such a game changer. And it brought everyone to this world, and it moved special effects and movies forward in so many ways, and it was so innovative, and it was just a game changer. People hadn't seen anything like it. And then you make a second and third one, and it's like, oh, we've seen things like this already. So then it's like, is the story really holding up? Nah, kind of, not really. Are they going to end a second movie on a cliffhanger like it's a TV show coming out next week? Yeah, they're going to do it. It's like, okay, cool. Well, screw you too then. And so this movie looks cool, but the charm of the first one, and I say the charm, the reason like it blew up and everyone loves it is because it's unique. It's hard to make a fourth movie unique because it's the fourth one. But we'll see. I hope it's good. I want it to be good. Some of it looks cool. But even there's a scene where they're like running through a hallway and kind of, you know, doing Matrix-y stuff in this hallway. And I was like, is this going to touch like the scene in Inception? Probably not.
First one was the one. And Neo, right?
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
We'll play on words.
Yeah, Neo the one. Yeah. Too,
but yeah.
Lastly here in the news, a rest in peace here for Michael K. Williams. Died at 54 years old of an apparent overdose in his apartment. And this is a gentleman who is most famous for playing Omar in The Wire. Unmistakable actor. He's got a scar right down his forehead, down his face. He just looks like the guy. And I mean, he's been in so many things since The Wire. And just looking at his IMDb, he has 110 actor credits. And The Wire ended in 2008. So you got to scroll way down to get there. He's been in everything. There's no way if you saw this guy, you wouldn't recognize him. And it's just very unfortunate he passed away. But I know him as Omar. He's just so prolific in The Wire. It's like, hey, Omar's coming. Like, just walking around with the shotgun, ready to go. Like, icon.
Yeah, man. Absolutely savage in the game. I know a lot of people cared about him. I know a lot of people knew about his struggles. So it definitely hit home for a lot of people. And it's unfortunate. It sucks. I know life comes and goes, but it's just a little tough to see something like that happen, especially someone that worked so hard to be where he is at. And unfortunately, struggles are real, and people deal with it differently. And it's unfortunate for what had happened, but definitely Omar, bro. I've seen so many TikToks or even Facebook videos. Like I watch something, I scroll down, and then like my For You page or like my, whatever, the world thinks I should watch. Like it always goes down to like The Wire, and I end up watching that scene where it's like, Omar's coming, and he's just walking down with the gun. And I'm like, damn, bro, this is intense. This is scary, dude.
Yeah, man.
And it's, that's just, the effect that he had in his roles. So, people obviously, cared about him, and he was a great actor. He was a great actor. I wish I would have seen more of his work. I know that, he's a savage in the game, so RIP to him.
Here's a clip of Michael K. Williams from The Wire.
Drop your laundry and turn slowly.
So you're gonna rob me now?
I need to remind you who I am. Omar, isn't it? Pull it slowly, then toss it.
Oh, I will move slow. I ain't tossing nothing, bow tie. So whatever you're gonna do, you might as well go ahead and make it quick. I knew you'd come back.
I trust you didn't lose sleep over it.
Worrying about you be like wondering if the sun gonna come up. Ain't about to wild out over it. What I wanna know is how you find me.
Your boy. He didn't give you up easy.
Ain't no sugar water run through them veins. You kill him.
He's resting. I see you favor a 45.
Tonight I do. And I keeps one in the chamber in case you ponder it. Nice showpiece you got there.
Walther, PPK, 380, double action.
Hey, them Walters like to jump some.
As will you, with one in your elbow.
That gun ain't got enough firepower to make my joint useless. It definitely won't stop me from emptying out half my mag.
You might not hit me.
This range? And this caliber? Even if I miss, I can't miss.
I admire a man with confidence.
I don't see no sweat in your brow neither, bro.
I suppose we could stand here all night.
Suppose we could. Or settle this once and forever.
I want to ask you something, brother.
And now we're hopping into our review of Malignant, the newest James Wan horror movie to come out on HBO Max and in theaters. The synopsis here is, paralyzed by fear from shocking visions, a woman's torment worsens as she discovers her waking dreams are terrifying realities. Rotten Tomatoes has this at a 75% with the critics, which is, you know, solid for a horror movie, and 50% for the audience, which is kind of par for the course for horror movies. Directed by James Wan, who has probably made 75% of the horror movies released in the last 10 years. Written by Akilah Cooper, whose only other writing credit is Hellfest. And it is starring nobody. There's not one person here you would recognize, know, or anything else. It might as well be me. I'm probably more noticeable and well-known than any of the actors in this movie. Not that they did a bad job, but many of them actually did an absolutely terrible job. Some of the cops. Man, the cops in these movies, they never work. When I was watching this, I was like, oh, these feel like cops from a Saw movie. That's what I was thinking. I was like, these feel like Saw cops. And that's just my basis for like shitty cops in a movie.
Not very good.
Not good.
Yeah, they're terrible. And they don't do anything. They have a big ass base too.
Well, they do like a lot of looks I don't know what to think. Like,
except for that one cop that drew like very well.
Yeah. Like really well.
Yeah. That was his whole thing.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, the cops suck. Their costumes suck too. I hated their costumes.
Costume did not even notice that the costumes were bad, but I know you're very passionate about their shitty costumes in this movie.
Yeah,
It did not come up when I was watching it. The movie's also very dark, so I feel like maybe they thought they could get away with some stuff. No. You had the brightness turned all the way up. You saw it all. I respect it.
Saw everything. That show's ironed on. The little patches and shit. Everyone's wearing a little cop hat, a little dumb cop hat. A bunch of motherfuckers are doing that. They're stupid. They just look dumb. And with the bad acting, I know you talked about the actors, but it was bad acting all around. Like, everyone fucking sucked. Everyone was not a good actor.
The main girl was all right. I think she was okay. I would say the main girl here who, I don't have her name now, I feel really bad because I literally just wrote no one. But I think she did a decent job. Not amazing. Not Oscar-worthy. But she did okay.
The dialogue they wrote for her was not good. So, whoever wrote this, the girl from Hellfest or whatever, I don't know what happened. Because dialogue sucked all around. Yes. It felt like a Hallmark movie. Straight up.
So, are you saying that you hated this movie, Madman?
I'm actually torn. I'm torn... I'm torn. I don't know what I believe in anymore because I hated this movie so much.
Okay.
The movie freaking sucked. I hated so much about this movie. And I know I've talked to some friends that love horror films and they were like, yeah, bro, I was laughing with it, not like at it. And I was like, that was not my experience. I was laughing at everything that was going on because it was so damn shitty. Like, I'm surprised that you really felt this way. But then there's a huge plot twist in the third act. Absolutely saved it for me. Did a freaking 360.
Yeah.
It was intense. I've never experienced something like this. I counted this movie out. I was ready to rate this very, very low, like freaking 30 something, maybe 20 something. Like, I was gonna rate it so bad. Because the acting just sucked and the story was just weird. And it felt like a 2005 movie. That should have came out even before that, you know, like it was just a weird time and place and the music didn't help. But I'm torn here, Dubs. I really hated this movie.
Yeah. And that's fair. And it did feel like an old movie. The music, when it dropped, every time something intense would happen, it would drop this. Well, I guess a stripped down Pixies track? What's it called?
Yeah, stripped down, like, Where Is My Mind or something.
All right, so I don't know what Where Is My Mind is.
Which is a weird, like, sad song, but
okay.
Stripped down, little effects, add some rock to it. It made it sound so... Well,
yeah, because I was going to say, it doesn't sound stripped down at all. It sounds, like, boosted and kind of intense. Like, and it kept reminding me, it's not the same as the Wonder Woman sound, but it really, every time it came on, I felt like Wonder Woman was about to pop out. felt like I was watching the Zack Snyder's Justice League all over again. And every time there was any kind of action or whatever, just this like heavy rock soundtrack just comes on in the background. And I was shocked. It was so off-putting. But I also think it was tone-setting in a way that it was saying, look, imagine if you took this movie serious. Because look at this. Like, if you were taking this movie seriously, would I really put this song here right now? And I feel like the only logical answer is no. Because this movie was not necessarily scary, although it did have some scary moments. And James Wan is a genius director for horror, and he does it very well. Had some good jump scares. But would you call this movie fun?
Yes.
And do you think, so I don't know, you didn't seem like you had fun watching it, you know, the first two acts, until you saw the twist at the end. Do you think going back, knowing the twist, you would enjoy the beginning more and have more fun with it?
Yeah, I would say yes, because I'm not the biggest horror fan. I think my reviews show it, and the last horror movies I've seen, I just criticize it for good, because the third act comes around and I'm like, yeah, this is exactly what I thought it was gonna be. This is bad. This movie sucks. But this one took a big turn. We're almost like it's playing homage to like these B level horror movies. It's kind of paying respect to this type of genre that I don't really care that much about. I don't really dive too into it. I don't even look too into it. But if you like this genre, if you like James Wan, because James Wan, like you said, does James Wan things in the movie. You see certain little jump scares, certain little horror feels, horror things. Does a great job at that. But I wouldn't say the movie was scary. I wouldn't say I was scared out of my mind. You know, I feel like it was even like a few more things in Candyman that scared me more than this. But it's just, they're just different types of movies, man.
Yeah. It's also bloody as hell, too. It is gory. It's definitely gory. Well,
it gets gorier, man. It gets gorier. The third act, like, it's gore fest.
People die.
And if I would have known it was going to be like that, I probably would have appreciated it more in the beginning, because I was just counting it out. Now, that doesn't take away that the movie has very bad acting and bad dialogue. It doesn't take that away. But if I would have known it, then it probably would have hit me more with an experience like I had with like Cabin in the Woods, or even like Evil Dead, like the remake of it. I probably would have enjoyed it like to that level.
Okay. Nice. So, I mean, Evil Dead's not satire, but Cabin in the Woods is definitely a satire movie of Evil Dead and many other horror movies and just general horror tropes as well. Would you classify this movie as satire or no? Because I don't think it goes that far.
I don't think it... No, but it's more like...
It's just a big budget homage to...
Correct. B-movies. That's just what I'm trying to get at here with that one. But I mean more of the experience where I enjoyed it. I kind of knew what I was going to go into with Evil Dead. I kind of knew what I was going to go into Cabin in the Woods.
Oh, okay.
This movie, I did not know what I was going to go into it. And what I saw was like a piece of shit. So I thought it was just going to be a bad horror film like Spiral.
Yeah.
But it wasn't that. It's not what I got.
No, it was, it's interesting. And I think it's one of those, by the end of the movie, it's impossible to hate it. Because it's just so crazy. And I stand by this statement, which is that horror movies are still the best bad movies to watch. A bad horror movie is usually at least funny. And because people are overacting, going through terrible situations, and things like that. And that's what it kind of felt like. The movie starts so heavy-handed. The only thing it was missing was like just a rape scene. Like, it felt so exploitative like that. Like, pregnant woman being abused, like... miscarriages, it just all these things. It's like, geez, like it's almost gross, you know. It's like like stop assaulting my sensibilities. And these are horror things that just constantly happen. As the movie goes on, I gotta give it credit. It's fun. It's a fun movie, and you're right. It is a shitty movie, but it's fun, and it's entertaining for what it is, and the twist makes it better. And also, the twist is like, what the hell is going on? And it's,
Would you classify this like as a slasher film?
I did, you know what? Okay, so I watched this in two parts because of the HBO Max, thank goodness. So I watched the first hour, and then I went to work. And I was talking to someone at work, and I was like, I watched Malignant. And they're like, how was it? And I was like, it was good. But, you know, like, it's a James Wan movie. You think there's, like, a spirit? I was like, well, this is actually, it's not like a spirit. It's like a dude, like some guy. He's just killing people. And they were like, what? And I was like, yeah, like, it's kind of like just a movie about a serial killer, like a slasher movie versus like a normal James Wan supernatural thriller. And it ends up being not necessarily that, but I think you could call it a slasher movie. I would say it's closer to like Freddy Krueger than not.
Oh, okay.
Or something like that. But yeah, because people get stabbed. Like, they get, it's rough.
It gets rough. More intense. There's a prison scene that this is after, like, or during the jaw-dropping plot twist moment. Yeah. And there's this damn prison scene. I was shook. The things crazy. I saw on screen.
Crazy.
It went very violent, very quickly. Felt like just, like, ugh. Like, you see bones, you see... I don't know. I don't want to talk too much about it, but Jesus. Like,
yeah.
It was appalling. It was and funny.
If you can watch horror movies and see like these gruesome scenes and have a smile on your face during it, even if it's not necessarily presented in a fun way, this is the perfect kind of movie for you. It's campy. Yeah. It's cheesy. There is bad acting. Super cheesy. Really terrible. Terrible line, like terrible script, almost to the point where, like, was this on purpose? Like bad, like it's so because James Wan seems like better than this. That you think like, okay, maybe he's just doing this on purpose, and maybe we're giving him too much credit. Maybe he's like, no, this was genius writing. I loved it. But if you're that kind of person that can like just see a bunch of people get brutally murdered and be like, dude, that was awesome, you're gonna love Malignant.
You're going to love it. And I encourage you to stick around because I've never wanted to walk out of the movie. I feel like I've always like just finished it and found something that I enjoyed. But watching this movie, I was like, man, this is a movie I could walk out of and watch it later, or watch the rest of it on HBO Max or do something. But I'm so happy I stuck around because it completely turned around. And I kind of saw the vision that James Wan had. You know, I almost feel like James Wan was doing is like, oh man, people are gonna freaking hate this dude. It's awesome though. They're gonna like wild out. It's gonna be great. Like almost like he was playing like a prank on me.
Wild movie.
Movie's out of control.
Recommend to any horror fans. For sure, any horror fans. If you're not a horror fan, don't think this will convert you. I do not think.
No, but stick around.
This is worth your time.
Yeah. Just don't turn it off. Don't watch something else. Stick around. I think James Wan did Dead Silence, right? Did James Wan do Dead Silence with the puppets?
Yes.
Or whatever?
Yes.
Right? And that movie also had a crazy-ass plot twist, too.
Yes.
I kind of had the same feeling. Like, I was like, oh, yeah, Dead Silence. Makes sense.
All right, well, how do you want to rate this movie by Batman?
So you could do, like, Tumors. You could do, I really love just really cheap cop costumes. But there's quite a few that you could play around with. Oh, we do VHS tapes.
I'll leave VHS tapes.
It plays an important part in the movie.
It does. It's also in like the second trailer. Like all that stuff. Like the second trailer starts with a VHS tape being like put in.
Shout out to the movie not really spoiling much. Like even though that VHS tape is very important.
Yeah.
It doesn't spoil much of the movie.
No.
And maybe that's why when I saw the trailer, it's like imaginary friend, VHS tapes. It kind of, I felt like I was going to watch a different movie.
Yeah.
And then I watched it. And I'm like, this movie's really bad. And then plot twist, it all came full circle. And I like got slapped. I feel like James wanted to slap the shit out of me. I was like, hey, buddy.
Yeah. Gotcha.
This is my movie.
Gotcha.
I got you, bitch.
Yeah.
I knew you came here because of Conjuring. Huh.
I'm down for VHS tapes. Maybe how many VHS tapes you want to give Malignant here?
All right, so no surprise here. Hit you with 75 VHS tapes. The third act saved it for me. I was gonna give this like a 30 straight up. Like this movie was not. I did not like this movie. And then the third act happens, and I was like shook. I came out like trying to read what this movie even means, what even happened in this movie. I had no one to talk to. I think I went on Reddit and I was like, yo, what the F did I just watch?
Yeah.
And I have like 5 up votes. So people felt the same way.
5 up votes. You're like,
this movie's out of control.
Got a lot of clout coming in right now.
A lot of clout happening. Man Moan. Catch me on Man Moan on Reddit. It was out of control. I'm gonna give it 75. I think that's more than fair for a movie that did not really set itself up well. And my 3-word review is gonna be stupid and awesome.
Okay.
This is what it is. And that's, and that's it. As another one, I put redonkulous plot twist.
Indeed.
Yeah. And then I have another one. It's freaking metal AF.
Okay. As fuck. That'd be like 2 words, but this acronym brought it down.
Respect, I'm not cursing respect. Anymore. Even though I curse like 10 times
multiple
already.
Multiple times.
Freaking metal AF, bro. I mean, stupid and awesome. This movie is so stupid and awesome. Like, it's just one of those. It's like, this is probably one of the worst movies I've ever seen, and I'm so happy I watched it.
Yeah.
This is great. Yeah.
Like, I'm going to give this one 71 VHS tapes out of 100. Mm-hmm. I think even talking about it right now, I felt a little better about it than I did watching it, because it is stupid, but it is fun. It's you know, it's good. And it's still James Wan. You know, it's a weird movie, but it's still directed really well. And my 3-word review is going to be watch your back. And that's all I'm going to say. And you just watch a movie. other than that, yeah, that's our review for the day. Thank you so much for listening. Instagram, Twitter, @ ScreenChamps. Email, screenchampspod@gmail.com. Hit us up. We love you. Peace out. Hey guys, that sounded great. Can we get everyone to reset? All right, take 2.